Good morning.
It's so nice to see all of the brave and the hardy and the ones who didn't mind all of that snow. I am so sorry. Please don't blame me for it. They're all the reasons I left Minnesota. You know, it is what it is. But it is good for us to be together as we continue our season after the Epiphany, this season where we celebrate all of the ways in which God's love is made manifest to us today. There are Sunday school bags in the back, and so if there are children here, if there will be children visiting, please make sure they get one of those Sunday school bags so that they know how much it is that God really truly loves them. We also have a request today for prayers for a little baby born on Tuesday named James. It's Clint and Joyce Bostick's grandson. He's in the NICU right now, so please keep James and his parents. He looks pretty hale and hearty, so we're not really dreading things, but all prayers are helpful things. So please keep James in your prayers today. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you take advantage and have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning so that we can be in worship, so that we can add our voices to those of God's faithful all over. So let us continue our worship by rising and singing our gathering hymn, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Thank you for that blast from my past. Trudy Drevlo would love that we were singing that song again. You have no idea who she is, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world. And by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson this fifth Sunday after Epiphany comes from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew at me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 5th chapter. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats ashore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the end of July, and it was after worship. Pastor Brad walked up to Mark Vachon in the narthex of the church. Mark was he's a big guy, 6'4", solid. He works in the service department at the Buick GMC dealership in town and has for years. He usually works on the big GMC pickup trucks. Mark is bald on his head, but with a full, thick beard, and so it makes him look a little bit like a pirate. At least that's what Pastor Brad thinks. Hey, Mark, do you have a minute? Pastor Brad asked. I have a question for you. Can I offer you some coffee? He gestures over to the coffee pot that's set up for after worship. I'll take some coffee, Mark said. I even have a couple of minutes. It's my niece's birthday celebration today, but not until 3 this afternoon. So Brad got them both a cup of coffee, and then he gestured Mark into his office. Come on in and have a seat. Mark sat down in the love seat in Brad's office, and he commented, This is a whole lot better than a trip to the principal's office. This couch is actually kind of comfortable. Well, Brad said, this isn't the principal's office, and I like it when people are comfortable here because that makes them willing to come back again. Now, Mark, I want to ask if if you would be willing to help us out this year with one of our units for catechism class. Mark almost spit out his coffee. He frantically was looking about the room, then finally looked back at Pastor Brad and he said, "Are you really asking me?" Now, this isn't some kind of prank, is it? "Mark, I would never prank someone with that kind of a request," Brad said. "It's too important for me to let you see that this request is genuine." "You know, Pastor, that's always the kind of vibe I get from you. You always try to be genuine. It's just that, how could you want someone like me? I know that we talked a little bit about my past, and so I wonder why you would want me to talk to catechism students." Brad smiled and said, "First of all, they asked for you. See, I always ask the first-year students if there's anyone that they would like to hear from in the next year, and your name came up. See, the way you read Psalm 22 at the end of the Maundy-Thursday worship, it really impressed some of the kids, and they don't really know you. And so they asked." You see, they've known most of the others who have done this talk in class, and some are even related to them, and one of the people I've used in the past has been their Sunday school teacher for years. But Mark, another reason I asked is because of that conversation we had about your past. I think that you would be a great person for them to hear from. Your story could be inspirational. Mark chuckled and said, "Yeah, it could also lead them to making all the wrong decisions like I did." Brad said, "I don't want you to inspire them to lives of crime, but rather to a life of faith. I'm really impressed by the huge strides that you have made even before I came here to St. Mary's. I think your story can help." Mark said, "Well, then I don't think you've heard enough of it. I know I told you that I used to be in a motorcycle club. We were the Nazgul, like out of the Lord of the Rings. We weren't the worst biker gang in town, but we were bad enough. And it was all the typical stuff with drugs and guns and women and stolen cars. I got my first education in car mechanics in the chop shop we ran. I'm not really proud of that. I know I told you some of that before, but in those days, I drank a lot. I used all sorts of drugs. I sold some. I would run down to Chicago to do pickups for the gang. I was a regular part of all of the criminal activities except for the guns. I never liked guns, and I'm big enough that nobody ever really asked me to do any of that. Well, Pastor, I wound up being investigated by the Joint Drug Task Force and by the Car Theft Squad. And they pinched me, and they had me dead to rights. I was cooling at the police station, demanding my phone call. And when they gave it to me, I called Cecil, the leader of the Nazgul. I had to leave a message. I told him that I was pinched and asked when they were going to come get me. See, I knew that the club had a lawyer on retainer and that he had gotten some of the senior leadership out of stuff like this. Well, no lawyer came. None of my brothers came. No one. I was important enough when I was useful, but now I was a liability and they cut me loose. That was a long night in holding. I wrestled with a lot of things. How I was living and the friends that I thought that I had and their reaction to all of this. I even began wondering what my mom would think of me if she was still around. You see, Pastor, my mom was a woman of spectacular faith. She brought all of us kids to church even when my dad wouldn't come. She helped us as she could and showed us what that kind of life was like. And then when I was in high school, she got cancer and was dead in 6 weeks. That kind of pushed me over the edge. But that night in holding, I thought how my mom would be so disappointed. And so the next morning, I turned state's evidence, traded what I knew for a 3 to 5 year prison sentence. I did my 3, I got out, I never looked back. It was hard finding work, but eventually I did. And St. Mary's here has always been good to me. They didn't ask and they let me attend. That's why I think your request is just a little bit crazy. I'm a convicted felon. And you want me to talk to middle schoolers? Crazy. Pastor Brad smiled. And then he said, "It's no crazier than me being here as a pastor. Have you ever heard my call story, Mark?" And Mark shook his head. Pastor Brad said, "Well, I grew up in Nebraska, in a small town filled with more cattle than people. We had the courthouse, a grocery store, two taverns, a general store, a couple of mom and pops, and a gas station at either end of town. It wasn't much, but it was what we had. Now, in my junior year of high school, that spring, I started hanging out with the bad element. They were the slackers, listening to AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, drinking on the weekends, and busting stuff up just to have something to do. It wasn't really where I had been before, but they seemed cool to me at the time. One night, we were looking for a place to drink, walking along the railroad tracks, and we came across this old warehouse or barn or something. It was big, and it was empty, and it was run down, and so we went in. Now, we were not the first people to have done this, because there was kind of a fire ring in the middle of the floor and some crates and an old couch and a chair to sit on. So we started a fire and we started drinking and talking, and one of the guys, we called him Foxy, he decided to throw this big old pile of papers and dried cardboard that he had found onto the fire. Now, that took up really fast, and the sparks started drifting into the air, and some of those sparks landed on the couch, and woof, that lit up really fast. So now, we're running around not knowing what to do, and Foxy and the rest of the guys, they left. I ran to the payphone in the parking lot and called 911. I also stayed until the fire department came. The police were with them, and they took me in. I told them what happened. My father had to come and make bail for me. A month later, I was in the courtroom. Here's the weird part, Mark. When I got into the courtroom, I remembered the vision from Isaiah 6 about God's throne room. I don't even remember where I heard it from. That courtroom was huge to me. I mean, it wasn't a gym or a theater. But it was bigger than any other just room I had been in. The lights were made to look like torches, and there were angels carved into the corners, you know, the little cherub kind. And the judge was there in his robes. And while I knew that he wasn't God, I also knew that he held my life in his hands. He talked with me, listened to me, recognized that I had called it in and had stayed there. So I was sentenced to 28 hours of community service and a check-in with him, the judge, every 3 months for at least a year. He then told me that he knew of an opportunity for my community service. He said that his church was doing a vacation Bible school at the end of June and they needed help. He would consider my community service done if I was willing to help with the vacation Bible school. Now, my family wasn't really churchgoers, Mark. I had been there through the years for Christmas and stuff. My cousins went more than we did. But this vacation Bible school thing sounded a whole lot better than picking up trash along the highway or scrubbing toilets at the county parks. And so I said, yes! And that was all it took. I had so much fun doing VBS that year. I discovered things about myself, about church, about God that year that I had never expected. When I went to talk with the judge the very first time, he told me that I was welcome back to his church on any Sunday. And so I came. I got more excited by what God was doing than at my last check-in with the judge. I told him I was thinking about becoming a pastor. He looked happier than anyone I had ever seen before. Now, my family thought I was crazy, but I kept at it. And you know, the judge was actually at my ordination service. You see, Mark, I too had a shady past, and God still wanted to work with the likes of me. God has never been picky about who he is willing to work with. God doesn't expect us to be perfect because God just wants to work with us, alongside us. Isaiah said he had unclean lips. Simon called himself a sinner when he first met Jesus. Zacchaeus was a cheat. Paul persecuted Christians. And it didn't matter. God called all of them. Now, Mark, I'm not God, and I'm not asking you to be a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet. I do want you to consider talking with the catechism class, because I think you can be good for them. I know that I find grace in your story. Mark looked at Pastor Brad and he said, you know, thanks for telling me that story. I guess I'd always thought that you were always just a church-going goody-goody. I guess I think that most pastors are like that, but that can't be so, can it? God does choose some unsavory sorts, and the gospel still gets around. I guess I'll think about it, Pastor. Can you tell me more about what it is that you want me to do? And so Pastor Brad and Mark talked for a while about the class and what Brad was hoping that Mark could do for them. You see, in the last couple of weeks, we have been listening to Jesus as he proclaims his mission statement, telling us that he has come to proclaim release and freedom, to grant sight and forgiveness. And in today's gospel, we see him begin to call his first followers. And who gets called? Is it the rabbi from the synagogue? No. Is it the leaders in the town? No. It's Simon, a fisherman who hadn't caught a thing the night before. Jesus doesn't care how successful he is or not, at least not at fishing for fish. Jesus calls Simon to come and to help him catch people in the net that is God's love. It doesn't matter to Jesus that Simon confesses that he's a sinner. God's love takes care of that. So who gets called? We all do. We get called every day. Jesus calls us to follow him, to love our neighbors, to care for strangers, to help the hungry, the homeless, the addicted, and the recovering. Jesus knows that we are sinners. Jesus knows that we don't always feel qualified or useful, but God wants to work with us, with all of us, to make this world more and more beautiful. You see, it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. God knows that this world needs the love and care, needs to hear the message. And so God chooses us. Just like God chose Isaiah or Simon, God chooses us. And then, if like with Simon or Isaiah, we need forgiveness, God forgives. If we need strength and guidance, God provides it. If we need helpers and partners, God calls them. That is, God calls all of us just as well. You see, we are called to be followers of Jesus, to be disciples of Christ our Lord. We get to be the body of Christ. Whether we feel worthy or not, Jesus calls us so that our faith may grow, so that we will bear fruit, so that God's love might work through us to make even a little piece of this world beautiful. Who gets called? We do. So let's get going. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance of our baptism at that beginning of God's calling to all of us, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance. So we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Equip your church to proclaim the good news that we have first received the forgiveness and grace shown to us through Jesus Christ. Send us out as apostles, sharing the hope of your salvation with a waiting world. Lord, in your mercy. Holy are you, O God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Reveal your splendor in fiery sunsets and in deep blue twilights. Teach us to recognize you in the beauty of our natural world. Lord, in your mercy. Soften the hearts of rulers and governments that they perceive and tend to the needs of their people. Remove corruption and the impulse towards violence. Protect first responders and military personnel who risk their lives in service of others. Lord, in your mercy. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon those who look to you for hope and healing. Bless doctors, nurses, social workers, therapists, and all caregivers. Draw near to those who are scared, sick, or in pain. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Robert, Maxine, Gail, Jane, Carol, and Pastor John. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. The disciples received help from partners as they brought in an abundant catch of fish. So strengthen this congregation's partnerships with community organizations and ministries. Multiply our shared efforts and bring joy to our relationships. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for our ancestors in faith who boldly answered your call. By their example, give us courage to live in faith and to proclaim your mercy until the day that you gather us into your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord grant that we may see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stay warm, stay dry, stay safe. As you go into the world with hope.
Make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.